morning.
Good morning.
I am impressed with how many of you made it with getting the time right. I wasn't sure. I sat down about quarter till, and there was maybe six people in here. And I thought, okay, good, no pressure. I'm off the hook today. except that one of those six people in the audience today is my mom. And she's visiting from New Mexico. Thank goodness that bio was wrong. I started seminary school almost 3 years ago, and I'm pleased to give you all an update that I only have 61 weeks left to go. But who's counting? So besides springing forward, we are also on the first Sunday observing Lent. Lent started on Ash Wednesday just a few days ago, where you may have seen people out in the community who had been blessed by smudges of ashes on their forehead. When I was preparing for this talk, I came across a little fact that I thought was really interesting, so I'm going to share it with you guys. Those ashes are created from the palms the previous Palm Sunday. I'm not a Catholic. I'm not a recovering Catholic. I did not know this. But I think it's amazing that those palms are burned up and blessed and held in sanctuary for a year to set the intention or self-devotion for those who want to participate in Lent the following year. It lasts for 40 days leading up to Easter. We get a reprieve on Sunday for some reason. It does not count it in the calendar. And the best I could deduce is that it is a mini celebration of maintaining that devotion, maintaining that self-discipline, or what it is that we have decided to give up throughout the week. So it's marking little milestones towards Easter. And while there is no mention of Lent in the Christian scriptures, the number 40, the 40 days of Lent, is certainly significant. We see it, for instance, in the book of Genesis, where the rain fell for 40 days and 40 nights, creating the flood that washed clean the earth. Yeah. And then we have the Hebrews that spent 40 years in the wilderness before finding the promised land. And Moses fasted for 40 days before receiving the Ten Commandments from God on Mount Sinai. Also, Jesus wandered in the wilderness for 40 days, and I quoted this, resisting the temptation of the devil. So I have this like, in unity, we don't talk about the devil or Satan. But what we do talk is the metaphysical interpretation of that. And that is the absence of truth, the absence of light and love and all that we know the truth about God, the nature of God that is God and that is within us. So Jesus being the Christ, being fully aware of his divinity, was also fully human. And before he stepped into his ministry, he had to go out and wrestle with some fear, some unknown, some, are you sure I have to do this, God? I'm not sure how, and I'm not sure I want this to end with me on a cross. But he did, and 40 days goes by, and he sets out. The ancient Hebrew writers made a practice of using numbers to symbolize ideas. And 40 is four square, or the number that is suggesting the foundation of a complete thought for something to follow. With me? So for the process to be complete, we have to start the process. Right? We got to get out of the gate. Well, I got out of the gate in El Paso, Texas. It's the armpit here, the corner of Texas, New Mexico, and Mexico. And it is a heavily populated, devout Catholic city. So being a raised Unity kid, I saw the ritual of Ash Wednesday starting with the black smudges of my friends on their forehead. And I didn't know what it meant, but I just knew that it was a time for them to begin their personal sacrifice. It was that and what felt like endless Fridays of fish sticks in the cafeteria, which also felt like a sacrifice to us non-Catholics. But I didn't understand what the meaning of this time in dedication and devotion actually meant. And I never asked. I never asked a friend. I just would hear periodically, you know, from them or someone in their family that they gave up this or that for Lent. And I recognized that it was a religious practice that we in Unity either didn't participate in. As a kid, I thought maybe we just were excluded from it. But I didn't realize until much later what the process of letting something go in our lives or being dedicated to clearing out actually makes room for us as human beings, as spiritual beings. Where there's a void, it will be filled. So now's the time for a little bit of audience participation. When you think of Lent traditionally, what kinds of things do you hear or think about giving up?
Chocolate.
What else?
Alcohol.
Bing. Anybody else? Saint cussing. Yes. That is a big one. Oh, giving up fun. Oh, God. Yeah, well, where there's chocolate, alcohol, and cussing. Or the absence of, I guess, you know. Well, what if I told you that we didn't have to give up something in the physical? Something in the sensory realm. All of those things feed and satisfy our senses, right? What if Lent was a time of giving up thoughts that were not aligned in truth? And it was a time of deep inner reflection, self-inquiry and discovery, and the internal process that initiates creating space or healing for something new to take its place. Am I the only one that feels like chocolate would be a lot easier to give up? Because that's hard work to do, to be aware, to know that this is it's on the calendar. It's a documented time for us to actually be in deep spiritual reflection. In the book, Keeping a True Lent, co-founder of Unity, Charles Fillmore, says this. He says, if we would turn loose the bands of wickedness, we must learn to fast from all unworthy thought and feast upon the good and the true, to observe Lent according to spirit rather than the letter. We must fast from criticism and condemnation and feast on brotherly love. Fast from false beliefs of sickness and weakness, and feast on the truth of God's omnipresent, perfect life. Fast from false beliefs and lack and limitation, and feast on the truth of God's bountiful goodwill. Ideas such as these form excellent basis for Lenten meditations, and that help establish a permanent spiritual values in the heart and the mind. Permanent. So what he's really talking about is the practice of affirmations and denials. And I'm sure a lot of you were just in Lessons in Truth, where there's a huge section of that class dedicated to what a denial is. But the Cliff's Notes version is that a denial is turning loose those thoughts that are not in alignment with what we know the truth of our nature to be. Yeah? And denials clear the field of debris that is littered with untruths to give us green pastures of the mind to plant seeds of truth. This brings me to Matthew 13, where the story or the parable of the sower is found. So a farmer was going to go and sow the field, and in the process, he loses some seeds along the path, and the birds swoop down and scoop up the seeds, and they don't bear fruit. And some more of those seeds get scattered and fall in the rocky places. And those plants spring up quick, but so does rise the sun and scorches the plants, and they die because they don't have deep roots. Some more of those seeds fall into the thorny brush, and they too try to thrive and survive, but they inevitably get choked out by the thorns, and they do not produce fruit. And still, the majority of those seeds get scattered on fertile soil, and they have the opportunity to take in deep, deep roots, and they produce up to 160 times what was sown. In this parable, the seeds represent the creative idea inherent to the word. This is Charles Fillmore, and sometimes I have to take a minute to really understand what Chuck is saying here. So I'm going to just quote from the revealing word, his words. This is meaning that it is the nature of the parent source of the unlimited potential that is God. That seed is from that source. And he taught that the word of man, the real man, is not the external thinking personality that has consciousness of separation, but it is the internal spirit center itself. Seeds are generative. They feed off of the intelligence that manipulates matter or substance to manifest their creation. Thank you, Charles. In this, he's really talking about principle number three, unity principle number three, that says that our thoughts create our experience. So those things that we hold on to and give energy to and manipulate are what take form in the manifest realm. So Lent is the perfect time to become aware of, or maybe reminded of, the responsibility of our thoughts. Managing our thoughts is solely ours to do. I can't teach or tell you what to think, can I, Stuart? No, I mean, I can, but it's not going to do any good. You're going to think the thoughts you want to have. And it works both ways. I am the master of my own mind. I can't manage your reactions for you in little things like getting stuck in traffic, or in greater things like losing a job or a loved one, or any number of things that are beyond what seems like beyond our control and probably feel really, really bad. We are so quick to step in and give grace to God and the co-creative power that we have when things are going great, when we land that perfect job, when we find that perfect house, when we go to the mailbox and we open up a check that we were unexpecting, and it's like, hey, yeah, party time. Then it's the positive co-creative power that we did, right? I created that with God. But we also need to understand that we are creating every experience we have, even if it feels like dirt. And we have the power to change how we think and change how we feel. So I offer you this time of Lent to consider that we don't need to give up material items or luxury goods or deprive ourselves of sensory satisfaction, but to tend to our thoughts, to tend to what's going on in this vessel. As Charles said, to turn loose the bands of wickedness, those would be thoughts of being unworthy, or doubt, or fear. And spend these next 37 days digging deep into the subconscious mind and exhume the experiences that created the feeling of not being good enough, or the feeling of being afraid or experiencing lack or limitation. Charles Fillmore says that every single thought that we ever had that went unattended slips into the subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind rests between the superconscious mind, that is the God mind, the still small voice, the instinct that is driving us, then the divine nature of who we are, and the conscious mind, which is how we project out into the world outside and how we interpret what the world reflects to us. So what is in that subconscious mind that is unhealed causes a muddy transmutation. We're not getting the full download or the full message from what we need to hear of and through God. And we're also having some usurped reactionary something or other that is happening because there's a log jam here in the subconscious. Does that make sense? So we have 40 days right now to dedicate ourselves to the self-examination and find those things that are holding us back from our highest good. I probably need a whole lot more than 40 days, but it's a good start. And when we find those tender places, if we are willing to sit in the silence or willing to just explore on the surface, we probably don't have to go that deep. We have these powers within us. These 12 powers, they are inherent in every one of us. They are divine ideas. And as we identify what hurts, where we're sore, where our hearts feel broken, we also have the ability to activate any number of these. And by doing so, we are calling them into action within our being, within our consciousness and our physicality, and allowing them to do their good work, what they are intended to do. So let's just take a minute and look back over the last 8 or 9 weeks. At the end of every year, we perform the burning bowl ceremony, right? We write down all of those things that we're going to release, and we burn them up. And then we go into the white stone ceremony, where we have now cleared the field and released those things that are not serving us. We get quiet, and we listen for that still small voice to give us a new name. That is a descriptor or an action that serves as our guiding posts for the coming months. So just check in for a second. Have you really let go of what you wrote down and burned up in the fireside room? Or is there a ghost of that still following you? Forgiveness work to be done, intentions that have not been met. And if that's the truth, that's okay. Because it's a process. For me, I think it's kind of silly to think that I'm going to write this down and burn it up and I'm just, go on about my business and it's done. It is an intention for me. I intended to lose 25 pounds. I intended to release those thoughts of fear and self-doubt. I didn't throw them in the fireplace and think that the work was going to just be magically done for me. 25 pounds, done. Check. The feelings, so much. I needed a chamois rag sitting here before I got up. I'm just, sure I'm going to do something wrong or say something wrong. And, I have to retrain my mind to the truth. My right stone word this year was happy. And before I could get back from that meditation, Spirit said, not so fast. You also need to be bold. It's the first time I've ever gotten two words. So this season, I plan on clearing out those thoughts, those feelings of fear within me. Those thoughts and feelings that feed the generation of that perpetuation in motion. And train my mind into the realignment with the truth of who I know I am. And who I know I'm becoming. And that certainly looks like spending time in dedicated prayer and meditation. But I'm going to tell you guys right now, I don't sit still and pray and meditate. I'm an active meditator. I'm an active prayer. I love to do art. I love to cook. I'm running kids to and fro. And in that action, I'm also remaining present with my thoughts and my feelings. And recognizing when they come up and allowing them to do so, because they're not going to bring me under. They need to be felt so that they can be healed, so they can be released, so that I can have some room for something new. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I lost page 10. Okay. Amen. One last point is that when we are denying something, when we are practicing the pattern of denial and affirmation, it is essential that we anchor the denial, that we release something that is not true for me. I am not afraid. I was born for this. And anchor it so that the universe isn't left this open circuit, right? It's gonna fill the void whether or not I direct the intention and energy or not. So I am not afraid. I am strong. I am love. I am intelligent power. And that is activated within me, and I am clear and know exactly what I'm going to do and have the strength to endure it. That's a denial and an affirmation. And did you get goosebumps? I did. It works. So once we have let go of those bands of wickedness, we have the ability to see clearly what is ours to do. And we have the confidence to move more easily and gracefully through the process to get us there. That's what Lent's about. Giving up and releasing those ideas and those non-productive versions of our old selves and those things that are holding us back from our highest good. Keeping us from becoming the next bigger, bolder, brighter rise in consciousness that we are intended to be, that bring us closer to that oneness of truth, that oneness with God. And so it is. Let's take that into meditation. You just want to take a deep breath. Drop your shoulders. Maybe roll your neck from side to side a little bit. Recognizing and understanding that we have that responsibility can sometimes feel daunting. Heavy. stressful. Take another deep breath and release that energy. Release that feeling of tension. And be still with your body. Starting at the top of your head, take a journey down through your third eye, throat chakra, heart chakra, down to your solar plexus, below your belly button, to your root chakra. Through this journey, take a moment to just breathe into each one of those spaces. Feel into what is out of alignment. Feel into where you need energy placed in your body intentionally. To mind any one of these 12 powers and intentionally activate that power right there in that center, that which needs your attention, your focus. Whatever thought or memory or experience that got drug along and lodged unnoticed into your subconscious mind, you have the power to release. Because each and every one of us is a divine vessel, a divine partner with the unlimited, ever abundant power that is God, that is Spirit. There is no work that we cannot do. And here we can affirm that we are divine love. We are ever present, never failing, always knowing and willing love. And we can pour that into whatever center of our body needs that love. Any of these 12 powers. Take a moment in the silence and see what is calling for your attention. Activate that power center right here and now. Allow it to do its good work. Breathe. And with that center activated, know that you can come back here at any time. You can re-energize over and over and over until you're ready to let it go. It's your timetable. When you're ready, There will be a space there for something new. Clarity, direction, intention, and you will move with ease and grace and confidence into the new, next, greater version of yourself. For this awesome power, for the ability to flex those muscles, heal of mind, heart, body, and soul, we are so grateful. We are so grateful, and we say thank you, God.